Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of John, chapter 20. Just hold it open there, and I will get to it in just a moment. We're going to talk today about results of the resurrection. Results of the resurrection. There was once an eye-catching ad in a Milwaukee newspaper. In the classified section, with big, bold letters, it had this advertisement, "Used tombstone." And then the ad's text read as follows, "Used tombstone for sale, real bargain to someone named Dingo." And for more information, then it gave the phone number. Now, the image of a used tombstone may at first seem grim and depressing, but think again, because a used tombstone means that its previous owner no longer has any need for it. It's a cast-off. It's an unnecessary item. Christ's resurrection conveys the same message. The tomb is empty. The stone that closed the grave is no longer needed. It's a cast-off. It's unnecessary because Jesus Christ is risen, and Jesus Christ is risen indeed. Easter, when you think about it, is death in reverse. The bones recalcified, the joints ligamented, the muscles retendined, the veins blood-filled, the heart restarted, the nerves electrified, the skin saturated, and up from the grave he arose, and we might add, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. John chapter 20, I read portion of this as we started the message or the service this morning. Let me pick it up with verse 11. The disciples had already come to the tomb. They had saw that Jesus was not there, and they returned to their own home. Verse 11 says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had." Don't you like that past tense? Past tense, "had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him up again. Jesus saith unto her," one word, her name, Mary. "She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master." When he said her name, she recognized him. "Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Father, we thank you for this resurrection and the results of that today. May they be clear and evident. May they be alive and well in each of our lives. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In May of 1937 at Lakehurst, New Jersey, the dirigible Hindenburg was in the process of landing. It had made some 60 voyages in the air, matching the greatest luxury liners that traveled the oceans. Only this time, it was in the air, providing a method of travel that was comfortable, swift for the day, and very, very exclusive. Reporters, of course, were sent to every arrival of the Hindenburg because it was always such an enormous event. One of them from the New York papers was standing there, well prepared. He had a list of people that he wanted to interview, including the captain of the Hindenburg and the passengers. He had the passenger list and was all prepared to ask them appropriate questions about the trip, about their voyage. How exciting was it? What did it mean to travel in such luxury? To travel through the skies across the Atlantic Ocean. And then an explosion occurred. The date of the triumph of Jesus is Good Friday, not Easter. And yet if the story had ended there, if the story had ended at the cross, if the story had ended with the burial, if the story had ended with the crucifixion, the victory would be barren. What remains is not for the victory to be won, because the victory was won at the cross. Satan was defeated there. What remains is not to win it, but to gather in its fruits. Consequently, John and the other gospel writers, they don't really present the resurrection as a mighty act. They mention it as something that happened quietly one Sunday morning on the first day of the week. The atmosphere still has the sweet freshness of the dawn of a spring day upon us when we consider it. And so this morning I would just like us to consider three results, or three fruits, if you will, of the resurrection. The first one is this: faith. Faith comes as a result of the resurrection. Faith is a fruit that comes because Jesus is risen. If you look at John chapter 20, verses 15 through 18, Jesus says to Mary, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if they have borne him hence, if they've taken him away, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away. I'll get him." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." And then verse 18 tells us Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. She believed. Faith had sprung up in her heart. She had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Christianity is different from all the religions upon the earth. We talk about how Christianity is different in that we serve a risen Savior. We have a risen God. Where the religions of this world, their gods are dead. You can visit their tombs. But Jesus' grave is empty. He's not there. Islam is a religion in which God requires you to send your son to die for him. Christianity is a faith which God sends his son to die for you. Cal Thomas said that, by the way. You have heard of Cal Thomas, the radio commentator, who claims that John Ashcroft made that statement. There was a young woman living in Washington, D.C. during the Second World War. Her husband had been stationed at a nearby army base. He was killed just a couple of years or a year earlier during a training exercise. They had been married just 4 months. During that whole year, you can imagine, this young widow woman felt more dead than alive. She merely went through the motions of living. Her family and friends were quite concerned about her. They wondered if she would ever snap out of it. Easter Sunday came along, and a friend asked the young widow to go to church with her. It happened that they went to the legendary Peter Marshall's church, preached in the historic Presbyterian church, which still stands in downtown Washington, a few blocks from the White House. That morning, Peter Marshall spoke of Mary coming to the tomb, just as we read about this morning. He preached about how her tears turned to joy. He described the sound of a wind rustling through the tomb as if the breath of God were blowing by. He described the sight of Jesus rising up from that cold stone slab, swaying a bit on wounded feet, and then walking out into the garden. He described the smell, the whiff of strange scents which must have drifted back to the man from that tomb, the smell of linen and bandages, spices and myrrh, close air and blood. And by the time Peter Marshall finished that sermon, the people in the church felt as if they had been there themselves in the garden to witness the first Easter themselves. When the service was over, the young widow practically walked on air as she left the church, and her friend couldn't believe the change that had come over her. "What happened in there?" she asked. And the response was, the weights have been lifted. The young woman replied, now I can go on living again. And you know, I think that's how Mary and the disciples must have felt after 3 days of separation from Jesus. And now to know that he was risen, now to know that he was alive, their response must have been, now I can go on living again. And if you've had tragedy in your life, maybe you've lost the death of a loved one, or maybe you've had excruciating pain, if you please understand the message of the resurrection, if you understand that Jesus is alive, if you understand those things, you can also say, now I can go on living again. Life begins to take on meaning all over again. The resurrection gave Mary and the disciples the faith to live again. And believing in the resurrection will also give you the faith to live again. And so one thing that the resurrection brings as a result, one of the fruits is faith. Another one is joy. Joy. John chapter 20, verses 19 and 20. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Here's the part I want you to get. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Glad. The Greek word is chario, which means to be cheerful, calmly happy, or well off. What it's saying is this, the disciples were calmly happy and had a sense of well-being when Jesus showed himself to them. Let me read to you from Matthew 28. This is another account, verses 1 through 8. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. There's a mixture there, a mixture of emotions, fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. In verse 8, we find that word again. We find the word joy. Now, the keepers of the tomb, the guards, they were paralyzed with fear. They were so fear-stricken that they were paralyzed. They were unable to move in face of the situation. Now, the women had fear, but coupled with the fear was also great joy. And again, the word here means calmly happy. What it's saying to us is that their fears were calmed and they experienced joy at the news of the resurrection. You know that joy produces hope. Joy brings hope. The women had lost all hope. Now they couldn't even find the body. Where was Jesus? Tell me where you have put him. We'll find him. We'll take care of him. They had lost all hope, but now the women had hope. Why did they have hope? They had hope because the stone was rolled away. They had hope because an angel sat on the stone. They had hope because the place where the Lord laid was empty. They had hope because the message from the angel was that he was risen. And we have hope for those same reasons today. The stone has been rolled away. The grave is empty. Won't you come and see? The place where the Lord laid was empty. We serve a risen Savior. And that is the message that the angel portrayed on that Sunday morning. Joyce Holiday tells the story of a school teacher who was assigned to visit children in a large city hospital who had received a routine call requesting that she go and visit a particular child. The teacher took the boy's name and room number and was told by the teacher on the other end of the line, we're studying nouns and adverbs in this class now. I'd be grateful if you could help him with his homework so he doesn't fall behind the others. It wasn't until the visiting teacher got outside the boy's room that she realized that it was located in the hospital's burn unit. No one had prepared her to find a young boy horribly burned and in great pain. The teacher felt that she just couldn't turn around and walk out. And so she stammered awkwardly, "I'm the hospital teacher, and your teacher sent me to help you with nouns and adverbs." The boy was in so much pain that he barely responded. The young teacher stumbled through his English lesson, ashamed at putting himself through such a senseless exercise. The next morning, a nurse on the burn unit asked her, "What did you do to that boy?" Before the teacher could finish her outburst of apologies, the nurse interrupted her, "You don't understand. We've been terribly worried about him. But ever since you visited yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back. He's responding to treatment. It's as if he decided to live." The boy later explained that he had completely given up hope until he saw the teacher. It had all changed because of a simple realization. With tears of joy, the boy said, "They wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a boy who was dying, would they?" See, the woman had given up all hope at the tomb until they saw the angel. It all changed when they came to a simple realization. They wouldn't have sent an angel to roll away the stone from the tomb, would they? They wouldn't have told us that Jesus was risen, would they, if this was going to be the end? This wonderful story invites us to celebrate the gift of life even when we see all around us, we see pain and we see trials and we see tribulation and we see disappointment and we see brokenness. It shows us that on the other side of pain, there is resurrection. Please understand that this morning. On the other side of pain, there is resurrection. On the other side of the tomb, on the other side of the cross, there is resurrection, there is victory, there is life. We need to see through to the other side. And yes, even on the other side of death, there is joy. On the other side of death, there is life. On the other side of death, there is victory. Because Jesus lives forever and ever, and he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And because he lives, you and I have the hope of eternal life. He is the first fruits of those who have risen. Weeping may endure for a night. Finish it for me. What comes in the morning? Joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. On the other side of the night is the day. On the other side of the darkness is the light. On the other side of the brokenness and the weeping and the disappointment, there is life. There is hope. There is joy. There is peace. There is fulfillment. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? The results of the resurrection, there's faith. There's joy. And thirdly, this morning, there is action. The third fruit or the third result of the resurrection is action. There in John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. "Then said Jesus to them again, 'Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so,'" what? "'Send I you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, 'Receive ye the Holy Ghost.'" You see, Jesus sends us to tell others of the resurrection. And then he gives us the Holy Ghost to help us with this task. He breathed on the disciples and told them to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That was fulfilled in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses." You shall witness the fact of the resurrection. "You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth." In Matthew 28, verses 5 through 7, the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. He says, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. See, come and see. Come and see the resurrection. Come and see that the grave is empty, and then go and tell others that he has risen. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 10, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. And then when Jesus had gathered with all of his disciples, you know that that was the moment that he gave them the great commission. He said in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, all power, all resurrection power, it means, is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Mark follows up with what the disciples did after the commission. What did they do with the news of the resurrection? What did they do with the commission? Mark 16:20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. I started the message with a story this morning of the Hindenburg. Suddenly there was an explosion. An explosion occurred on the Hindenburg probably because of an electrical short and the hydrogen balloon that really was the great dirigible exploded in a terrible tragedy. There was an enormous fire. Death in the sky. The reporter who was watching this event stood there stunned. As soon as he could, he made his way to a telephone so he could call in the report. But as he was on the phone to call in his report, he went dumb. He was speechless. You see, he had been prepared to tell what others had witnessed. He had come prepared to interview the captain. He had come prepared to talk to the passengers. He had come prepared to speak with those who were in the audience watching this magnificent event. He was ready to talk about the belief and the feelings and the emotions of what other people had witnessed. But when he had to give an account, when he had to witness for himself, all of a sudden, the words were gone. He had nothing that he could think of to say. And you know, there are a lot of people like that today. They don't know firsthand. They have not witnessed the resurrection life of Jesus. And they can talk about what others feel, what others believe, but they cannot talk about what they themselves have experienced. They're dumbfounded. They are unable to witness to the personal testimony. Now, I believe in the resurrection, and I believe in it because there have been people who have witnessed it. And I believe in it because it has stood the test of time. But do you want to know the real reason why I believe in the resurrection? Because I have experienced it. I've experienced the life, the quickening that Jesus gives. I have experienced the change from going from the kingdom of darkness and being translated into the kingdom of light. And I can witness, I have a personal testimony. I don't have to tell what others feel and what others believe and what others witness. I can tell from my own personal experience. And I wonder today, can you do that? Can you do that? Can you tell? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Have you ever invited Him into your life, asked Him to be Lord, given Him control? Can you today give witness to what He has done in you? If you can't, I would just encourage you, don't leave here today until you can. Until you invite Him in. Jesus said that whoever comes to Him, He will by no means cast out. He will not turn any single person away. He will not turn any one of you away. If you invite Him, He will come in and He will make His abode, He will make His home in your heart and in your life. I want to challenge you to do that today. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Jesus is only the first fruits. We all have the opportunity to experience that life that He gives us. Honestly, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, until you invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the Bible says you're a walking dead person. You're dead in trespasses and sins. Your body is alive, but your spirit is dead. But He wants to quicken you. He wants to make you alive. Body, soul, and spirit this morning. Jesus Christ has done it all for you. He's gone to the cross. He's died in your place. The only thing left for you to do is receive that sacrifice. Say, Jesus, I believe that You died for me. Come into my life and save me. He then promises to give you eternal life. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, the Bible says, you will be saved. I wonder how many here today, by a raised hand, you would say, Pastor, I have no doubt that if I were to die today, I would go into the presence of the Lord. I'd go to heaven. I've experienced that life, that change that you talked about. I've invited Jesus in. Could I see your hands? It looks like most of you, you can put them down. Just in case there might be one here today that has not done that, I would like to pray a prayer. And if everybody would just repeat it after me, would you do that, please? Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Your Son to die on the cross for my sins. I believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. And at this time, I confess with my mouth that He is my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Take me to heaven someday. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask Nancy to come and minister in song today. The song really describes in a great way what the whole Easter situation is about. The victory that was won. And as she sings, I just hope that you could put yourself in to the story today. And if you didn't pray that prayer a few minutes ago, I would invite you to still come to the cross because there will always be room there for you. But please don't delay. Don't take liberties with this privilege that the Lord has given us.
There's a line that's been drawn through the ages. On that line stands the old rugged cross. On the cross, a battle is raging for the gain of man's soul or its loss. On the one side march the forces of evil, all the demons and the devils of hell. On the other, the angels of glory, and they meet on Golgotha's hill. It is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, there'll be no more war. It is finished, the end of the conflict. It is finished, and Jesus is won. The earth shakes with the force of the conflict. The sun.
Battle has been won. It's over. Jesus has fought for the souls of men. He's won the right to them. They need to yield to them. They need to yield to Him. It calls us to action. The fruit of the resurrection should be faith and joy and action on our part. Let's let them know that the battle is over. You know, there were some in World War II that had not yet heard the news that the battle was over, and they continued to fight until they found out that the battle was done. And then they were able to lay their weapons down, and those that were holding them captive fled just at the news the battle was over. And today I hope that you realize that the battle is over. Surrender to Jesus. Surrender to Him. He has won every battle. It's finished. And Jesus is Lord. Praise God.
Lord, I am so thankful to You that You fought the battle for each one of us. And Lord, You came forth victorious. You are the victorious Lord. You are the strong, conquering hero of our faith. Lord, I just praise Your name. That the stone is rolled away, and we can look in and see the victory that You brought for us. Lord, show each one of us the power of that victory. The power of the resurrection, Lord, show each one of us. Quicken our mortal bodies that we could run in the race and know that the battle's done already. Lord, I just ask You to do this in the precious name of Your strong Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.